looking for a unicorn, like me. I'm just kind of going to do what I feel like doing. I don't really have any rules. You know, I'm just having fun and everything's been really great so far. And I hope that I find somebody. This is not normal life.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everyone.
I'm back.
I'm mourning.
You're mourning?
No, I'm not mourning Taylor being back. I'm happy that Taylor's back. I am mourning the events, the occurrence that happened on this television show that we make our internet radio show about.
The personal devastation that I'm experiencing right now has not circumvented my my jet lag, but it has definitely trumped Game of Thrones, at least for the next hour or so.
Oh, rough night.
Oh, boy.
Rough night. Welcome back, everyone. We have Taylor back in the studio, which is wonderful.
Isn't it weird, like, after me doing the show for so long by myself and then you doing it by yourself? It's hard, right?
It is hard.
I mean, thank you, Curtis. I mean, he didn't actually do it by himself.
I was lucky to have a good guest host who had some things to contribute.
Lots of great insight.
Yeah, but, you know, it's... I'm glad to have you back. You're my, you know... trusty co-pilot on this thing, you know.
It's true. I had a female pilot on one of my flights.
What was it like?
Exactly the same.
Yeah. How would you know?
It was actually much smoother. So.
Was it?
Yeah.
I feel like I can never tell the difference from one pilot to another.
Oh, I can.
Basically, unless
there are some up there.
Unless the pilot was like. Obviously blind, like flying us in the wrong direction. I wouldn't know the difference.
Okay, I can tell.
But they all have the same, like, disinterested sounding voice. Like, this is your pilot speaking. We're a gazillion miles above the ground, and you guys better hope that I'm doing this right, because otherwise you'll all die. So just enjoy your flight and
sit back and relax, and we'll try to get you there early.
I'm gonna turn this light on. He's always right. Turning some light.
They're
on
always turning the light on and off, and they're always trying to get people somewhere early. It's like just fly the plane and tell the stewardess to stop telling me where the f*** to pee.
Drama.
I'm gonna pee where I want to pee.
There's a button on top of you. If you push that, the light will turn on. Right next to that is another light that I'm going to turn on right now, just to indicate where the first light is. You can turn on anything, whatever you want. Just turn it on. Let's jump right in the end of the road.
Yeah,
that's what we need to talk about. Let's get Derek out of the way.
Yes, so since we lost Derek, who, lest we forget, last week basically begged JoJo for a rose in order to get some sort of level of validation about where his relationship was going with her. You know, on the one hand, and I've read a couple of places some things about Derek that, you know, maybe he might have been a little too smart to be on the show. I saw some glimpses of it somehow, but I just, you know.
I don't believe in that. If you're too smart to be on the show, you don't apply to be on the show.
I think he was at the top of the chaff barrel, honestly. I mean, Derek was not as hot as some of these other guys because very clearly she likes the same kind of looking bro. And
yeah,
Derek did
not
fit the bill. He was way too Greek looking.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like Derek did much. She was self-proclaimed instantly attracted to him.
What? Now that I don't understand. And maybe it's just me because, you know, I love a good dark hair, light eyes gentleman. I mean, hello, Prince Eric. Can I get a what? But Derek, when I saw Derek get out of the limo the first time, I never felt like, man, this guy is going places.
No, I think I got rid of him in the first week in fantasy because I was like, this guy's got no chance.
And he, God, what a wet blanket. Like, ew.
He kind of sucks.
He
got the very first one-on-one date. Here's a brief history of Derek's career on the show. Got the first one-on-one date, then disappeared into oblivion until tonight.
Pretty much.
Right?
Yeah, and he only disappeared into oblivion because we were talking about Chad so much, which is what happened to most of the people on the show.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the initial attraction to him that is proclaimed is probably fake because they were like, listen, we know that you already picked Jordan on the first night. So if you, like, just humor us and at least, like, randomly select one other jabroni and just pretend like he's winning right now for a second.
I am still so annoyed that this is just somehow the process that they've gotten the show into. Like, we knew Jordan Rodgers was a front runner since the beginning of this whole thing. Just like Sean and, you know, all those other that have been on the show before. Like, give me a season for once that I actually go into the finale and I don't know what's going to happen. That would be great.
There is a type.
There is a type.
It doesn't matter who the bachelor is.
There's
he
always
picks
a
the
type.
Same woman. It yep. doesn't matter who the bachelorette is. She picks the same man. You know, this
every
is
time.
A type. This is who they're ingraining in us.
Every
as the
time.
Ideal.
Every time. Which is why we'll talk about it later. Which is why someone like James Taylor sticking around is such a refreshing and nice change. So,
let's go to Wells.
Oh, God.
Wells is who the people want. The people, I mean the people in our studio right now.
So, I'll say this about Wells. Adam, I think you are the person really that this is directed to. I think you're Wells, and Wells is you. And I think this would be what would have happened to you had you been on the show. You would have been a slow mover. You would have been neurotic. You would have been, you know, and let me continue to say all the other bad adjectives about my fiance on air.
Yeah, you have other errands.
Grievances
to air? Yeah, grievances to air.
Yeah. You know, I think you are more careful about your relationships and where they go. The upward inflection seems to be helping a little bit.
So, just so our listeners can tell, right now I have carefully removed my glasses.
Carefully.
And I am using my fingers to rub my eyes from the inside out to the temple.
Right.
And then back in again to express anguish and deep thought.
Sure. Sure.
I mean, you might have to close your eyes to do this.
Yep. And maybe do it yourself so that you can kind of see.
Yeah. Now I've picked up my glasses with one hand and I'm still doing the motion with the other eye and with the other hand.
I really appreciate the narration because that seems like something that Wells would do.
There's liner notes here. Adam puts his glasses all the way back on so he can read his notes is what it says.
Pensive as he writes on his paper.
Adam Pensive crosses out Wells's name.
Ugh, oh, God.
Sad.
It's so hard.
So, you know, we'll start the show when we talk about Wells' one-on-one date. So I'm not going to try to talk about that date right now. But I, as a person who is not a traditionally attractive man type.
Okay.
You know.
All right.
Appreciated Wells being on the show and making a deep run.
Mm.
Because you watch the show and you see guys like Luke and
Jordan.
And I don't care. I don't want those guys to fall in love. I don't want some woman to fall in love with them. They've had their chance.
They really have, and they've probably blown it a number of times.
They've had their chance with whoever they wanted their entire life. Mm-hmm. And the only reason it didn't work out was because they fucked it up because they're
mm-hmm.
You know?
And they probably cheated on said girl with another girl who is probably dumb and hot.
It's a cycle.
It's a vicious cycle.
Wells is out here. A man of intelligence.
Yeah, man of the people. A man who is attainable, which is even more attractive for the other women across the country that are watching the show. I mean, you cannot tell me that as a normal human woman watching this program, you could say, oh yeah, Robbie's my type.
Hey, there are men who watch this show, too. Men who listen to our show, too, right?
All right, take it easy.
It's like me.
Men and women across the country watching this show aren't watching it and saying, yeah, Jordan Rodgers is totally my type. If I met him out at a bar, he would come up and start talking to me. No! A guy like James Taylor would be somebody who would come up and start talking to you. A guy like Wells would be someone that could make you laugh deeply. And then you'd have sex with him because he seems safe and not as
Whatever.
Heavy as some of those other guys.
A guy like Jordan Rodgers is not a guy that you ultimately end up with.
No
because
way.
It's just not possible.
It's just not possible.
Anyway, I wanted Wells. I wanted the non-traditional winner so bad.
I wanted so much for Wells to just
and now,
just really.
And now just the weight of all of humanity is on James Taylor's shoulders. as he picks up just the burden of all of us regular guys who are pretty nice and take care of the people that they care about.
And honestly, that's not a mantle he's going to be able to handle.
No, because he's too chubby.
He's too chubby and he's too soft.
She doesn't like how fat he is.
No.
So
let's talk about Wells' one-on-one.
Let's go into the real show, right?
So
we're in Argentina.
Yes. So there, of course, is always the phrase that we start with that I couldn't think of a better place to fall in love other than Argentina. Well, I mean, the more that you say that about every single place you go to, the more it loses its value. So you got to pick one place and really stick to it.
Nematode, Pennsylvania, wherever they went.
Jeez, yes. Hilliard, Ohio is where is a really amazing place to fall in love.
Classically romantic Hilliard, Ohio.
Wonderful.
Just like Romeo and Juliet.
Just like Romeo and Juliet. I love it.
They died.
Yeah, they did. Springfield, name a state, is a great place to fall in love.
I mean, there's only like 39 of them or something.
Yeah, sure.
You only got like an 80% chance of getting it.
So the one-on-one date goes to Wells because at this point he's the only person that hasn't had any real one-on-one time with JoJo. So the guys start razzing him about the fact that he hasn't kissed her yet. You know, and I don't think it's that bad.
He just volunteers.
He did. And I mean, hello, wouldn't you want to be with a man that is confident enough to say to a bunch of other guys that are pretty much all dating the same girl, hey, I haven't kissed her yet, so I don't really care.
I thought this was a really interesting strategy by Wells.
Okay, talk about it.
I thought it was. Number one, the first time it came out of his mouth, or when he told the guys, I immediately thought, there's no way this is true. He's lying to them to try to get a psychological advantage. Because he knows that everyone is about to turn on someone,
yep,
and he doesn't want it to be him.
Oh.
I thought it was like a mind game. And it was not.
When it turned out to be true.
Turns out it wasn't.
Adam had to change his strategy.
Well, no, but I am in favor of honesty.
Oh, we all are.
Like, you know.
I'm just in favor of Wells, personally.
I'm in favor of honesty. That's how you build good relationships, in terms of friendship and in terms of romance.
Well, it seems like at every turn when something was happening, Wells was the voice of reason. I mean, James Taylor had his arm around Wells's, you know, shoulders while they were waiting on the date card because they love each other. Oh God.
So I don't know. I thought that, and then secondly, I thought maybe this is a strategy he is employing against JoJo, because most guys have something, a story about how their parents died or like whatever.
Right.
Where it's like their trump card that's going to get them through the one-on-one as soon as they have it.
Right.
And I thought like maybe he's saving it for that.
Ooh.
So that they can be like, so that they have never kissed before.
And when Wells and I kissed, it was so magical and we couldn't keep our hands off of each other.
Yep.
And now I'm going to give him a rose.
And now he's through.
Totally makes sense.
You know, trump card.
Trump card. So they go on their date and they go to the evening portion and Wells, you know, again, more honesty from a guy who's great and genuine and amazing. He wanted to keep the kiss between him and JoJo special and, you know, to make it kind of a moment. And I feel like he did that.
Boy, do I ever sympathize with that line of thinking?
Oh, boy.
This is what happened with me and Taylor.
It did.
There was a critical mass where, like, we had to have our first kiss. And I just wanted it to be something, and I kept, like, thinking about how can we do this, how can we do this, like, how can we remember it? And the truth is that she just did it in, like, it's just, like, a very regular night.
Because I'm a grown woman. Black girl magic.
She just did it. But the truth is that because she did it, it became, like, the moment. Obviously, we both still remember it, you know. It doesn't matter that the circumstances were spectacular, because they weren't. It matters that it happened.
So the moral of the story is what you're saying is that Wells probably put too much pressure on
himself.
Don't
manufacture it. Just reach out and kiss it and it will happen.
Reach out and kiss it and it will happen. Okay. So on the date, he talked about and was very honest about his feelings about the show. He's like, when I got the call about it, I was really skeptical about whether or not it was going to work out and what the process was going to be like. And
Why wouldn't he be? That's natural.
That's a natural thing, you know, and I think a lot of times these guys get on the show and they forget that it is a television program. And I don't think Wells ever forgot that, but because he's in the entertainment industry, I think he gets it more than some of these other guys do. But it just turned out that they were just really good friends. And I think he was just too in his own head. And, you know, the conversation between him and JoJo flowed really nicely. And, you know, he seems like a great person to talk to. And you want to sit up until like 3 o'clock in the morning and just be close and sit and make out and talk. And
are you maybe projecting right now?
What? I'm sorry. I'm either really jet lagged or I went somewhere else with this.
It's okay. I love you too.
I love you, Wells.
I have two things to say.
Uh-huh. And then we can.
I have two things to say. Mm-hmm. And then I'm done. Okay. Number one, JoJo and Wells are not really good friends. They're not. She told him this as the way of letting him down because this is a classic. This is a classic. Well, no, men do this too.
Yeah.
This is a classic, like, this is the it's not you, it's me type thing. You can say, listen, we're just really good friends. I don't feel it, you know, but they're not really good friends. When she wins this, or when she picks who wins, she's not going to go back to her room, pick up her cell phone,
and call Wells
to say, guess what? I'm in love, right, like you would with your friends.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That's not true. She's not going to do that.
Right.
What she means to say is, I'm not romantically interested in you.
Right. And just leave it at that.
Which is the truth, but she's not going to say it. Number one. That's my number one. Here's my number two thing. This is something that bothers me about JoJo. And, it's, you know, a person like me thinks relatively mathematically, analytically about things.
Much like Wells.
Right. So when JoJo, and this is her thing. This has been her thing for 2 years.
Yeah.
The, I'm looking for a unicorn.
Oh, yes.
I'm looking for a unicorn.
Oh, yes.
The idea, the concept, is that there is only one person like the unicorn. It is so rare. One person on Earth. One person out of like 10 billion people or however many people are alive on the Earth. One person out of 10 billion people. That is the person I am looking for.
And we have had this conversation numerous amounts of time on the show. You have to realize, not just when you're going into this dating show specifically, but when you're getting in relationships that, you know, when you find the perfect person that's perfect for you, they're only 80% really of everything that you want.
Yeah.
Not 100. That's not going to happen. And she's putting the on a pedestal.
Yeah, that's not really where I was going with this.
Well, needed to be said.
All right. Cliff Notes version. She's saying, I want to use this show to find my one in 10 billion
My one true love.
That's not the reality. The reality is that you're picking one out of 25 people. Right. Instead of going out into the actual world and actually finding this one person, you're limiting yourself to 25 people.
That have been pre-selected by someone, by people that don't even know you.
Yeah. The idea, like what she is saying and what she's actually doing are so phenomenally different. You know, what she wants is not scalable. So her reaction to that is to go with one of 25 people.
And I think it's even more than what she wants. I think it's a matter of because she's in this compressed time frame that, you know, somebody like Wells, who could be a viable candidate for her to really fall in love with, is not a candidate because he's not opening up fast enough. He's not as hot as somebody else. Like,
that's it.
I mean, it's all the superficial stuff.
She's mega hot and he's not. So,
well, you know. I don't know about that because Wells is hot.
I mean, again, you don't have control over who you're attracted to.
I do.
It's not her fault she wasn't into Wells, but still, the friendship thing is a tired excuse.
So
you're on national TV. Give us the meat.
I want the goods. So we go to the group date. And at the beginning of the show, before we get into the group date, at the beginning of the show, Chris Harrison tells us that there will be a second two-on-one date this season. The first time ever. So in terms of timing, that means that we are down to six guys. We will be down to four the next week and then pretty much be almost done with this thing by the end of the month. And lest we forget, we were having this conversation about, like, why are they moving so quickly? This seems really weird.
And bells and whistles are going off, because this is a 25 to Life exclusive.
25 to Life exclusive.
Taylor Robinson original thought right now.
Well, not really original thought. More so, I mean, TV timeline, public relations.
Taylor blew my mind with this.
So, the Olympics are starting in, what, August?
Beginning of August.
Beginning of August. And ABC has to run all of their fun summer programming ahead of the Olympics, not to compete with NBC's programming, because they're just not going to get the ratings. So they've got to get everything out. So they are escalating the time frame of The Bachelorette.
They are sprinting to the finish.
Okay. All right. And then they also, lest we forget, have to do Bachelor in Paradise starting pretty soon, too. So
probably right after the Olympics end.
No, it's going to be
competing against.
It's supposed to be. I think it's supposed to compete, and it's going to be pretty much right at the same time. Ooh. So,
thank God for DVR.
Thank God for DVR.
I'm not going to watch Bachelor in Paradise against the Olympics.
No.
Anyway, so yeah.
So that's
they're in a hurry. They're in a hustle to get.
So
this
they're
thing
in a hustle to
Olympics.
Get this all taken care of. They're in a hustle to just cut guys
elimination.
Out. Just merciless elimination. So we're on the group date, and what was this date? I don't even remember what it was.
Street soccer.
Okay.
Street soccer, and then sitting around talking about Jordan.
I really don't care. So we get to the evening portion of it.
Yeah,
Luke and JoJo have a lot of sexual chemistry. We find that Luke's favorite word is like, so that's a thing. And then pretty much he's just saying relationship stuff and not saying anything at all. And
Luke
JoJo basically
like,
just wants to f*** Luke, and I want her to do that.
Luke is guaranteed the fantasy suite at this point.
Ooh, yeah.
Because he's super hot.
He's
like,
super hot.
He's like, if you took, like, G.I. Joe Cowboy and dipped it in, like, molten steel.
He basically had his
out.
Whole hand up her vagina tonight, so it's happening.
Yeah, that's an interesting move.
The old
hand up the dress.
Hand up the vagine. Well, at least it's better than full-on intercourse on the show, which has also happened.
This is what works.
So we get to James Taylor's one-on-one time with JoJo after the group date, and a lot of the guys are sort of latching on to this tactic of, let me drag Jordan through the mud to kind of ruin his frontrunner status. And this is the exact opposite of what you should be doing.
I think
like the exact opposite.
I think somebody boldly predicted that this was going to happen.
Was it you?
I think somebody on this show.
Oh, that's not me?
That isn't you. Somebody else boldly predicted that the house would turn against Jordan, put her in a position of picking between Jordan and them.
And the rest of the house.
And then she would pick Jordan.
Yeah, I wonder who said that. Was it Curtis?
I don't know. We'll have to check the tape.
Okay.
Let's get our researchers
all right.
on it. We'll,
all right.
We've got a stenographer who types all these up. We'll ask her.
And of all people, for James Taylor to do that, the nice guy, I mean, is he really
that
nice? Because if he's throwing him under the bus like this?
I think James Taylor is having an
existential crisis.
An internal crisis right now that has a lot to do with his body image.
Yes. Okay, let's talk about
that. He brought it up a bunch on the actual like soccer playing date. All he was saying was like, listen, all these guys are muscles and like shirtless and hairless and all this stuff, and like I'm clearly not. And then later on at the end of the date, he was talking about how he went on this diet to cut weight before the show.
Oh,
and he's still kind of chubby. But like, but everybody who knows him is looking at him and being like, this is a trimmed down, like, good for him. He looks so good. We've never seen him like this before, you know? Or maybe ABC was like, yeah, you can be on the show, but you're going to have to starve yourself for
that's
a month.
Probably what happened. You know, he's already feeling uncomfortable, and I feel so bad for him because I do want him to do well. I do want him to gain JoJo's trust, which she is already super into him. It's just, you know, God. You know, why go after Jordan? We already know what the consequences are for people that go after Jordan.
I think he knows Jordan is vulnerable because other people have gone after him before.
Yeah.
At a certain point, maybe she's going to go, you know what? Maybe he is the problem.
Right. Because this is what he's the second time.
This is happened. What he's thinking.
But she's so blinded by her relationship with him that she won't. She doesn't even hear.
What
she
is, doesn't even what hear. He is thinking is that maybe I'll be the straw that breaks the Jordan camel's back. That's what he's thinking. What's really happening is that he's not realizing that she's not putting the thought into her relationship with Jordan. It's just happening.
Right.
She feels it. She's not thinking it through like he thinks she is. And, you know, that's what's going to come back to get him.
Exactly. And I think that'll come back to get her in the long run, which we'll talk about. So she confronts Jordan again about the things that people are saying about him. And I think this is the time for our bro moment of the week.
Whoa, let it happen.
Check this out, bro.
Bro him?
Yeah, professor.
Nice bro-tata chip.
Protein shake. Teddy Roosevelt.
So the fight that James Taylor and Jordan had seemed like a bit of just a tit-for-tat sort of tiff. And I think the bro moment for me was when the fight started with when we were in the hotel playing poker. I mean, classic moment for some bros to get fired up about the rules of the game and turn it into something completely different. So that's my bro mode of the week.
Side note, what guys are unclear about the rules of poker?
Clearly Jordan Rogers is very unclear.
Well, I mean, he could have been right. Maybe James Taylor was the one who doesn't know.
I mean, we weren't there.
We don't know, but like, I thought, I mean, why would you be playing poker if you didn't know the rules? The rules are real simple.
I mean, wouldn't they have been on the box?
Well, you don't need the box. I mean, everyone knows.
I know, but like, you know, I'm sure the producers like gave them the box. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it's, to me, it's sad that James Taylor, like, James Taylor knows this isn't going to work.
Right.
He knows it's not going to work. He's just doing it because it's his only chance.
Right.
And it's sad that it's his only chance, but at the same time, I was thinking this during Wells' date. When she was giving him this speech about letting him go, whatever, here's what I was thinking, directly. And it applies to James Taylor also. It's sad that this is happening. It is even more sad that this has to happen.
Yeah.
It has to. It cannot end another way.
And it won't, because, I mean, do you really think she's going to let James Taylor have sex with her? Please.
Right.
No.
I would think Jordan and Luke.
Jordan and Luke, for
have
sure.
Two of the three fantasy suite dudes.
And Robbie. I mean, that's it. Up. It's Jordan, Luke, and Robbie.
Robbie is a gross person.
I hate him so much.
I don't have anything else to say about the group date. It sucks. It sucks that like all these guys are kind of getting in this fight. Like Alex is watching them fight and just loving it. And then Luke just steered clear of all of it and got the rose.
Yeah, and you know, well, I don't know if that's why Luke got the rose. I think Luke got the rose because he finger banged.
Yeah, Luke is so funny. He doesn't say anything.
No,
like the words he's saying are literally dashboard lyrics.
Yeah,
he's just like he just says cheesy stuff.
He's actively screaming infidelities.
Yeah, and it works because he's so hot.
He's so hot. I mean, oh god, he's so hot. So we get to the 2-on-1 date with Chase and Derek. So Chase seems like he has shown probably the most emotion ever in this episode single-handedly, which is not a whole bunch.
Chase is a nothing.
Again, another person who is like has no personality. Like, how did we get down to this point and all these guys have no personality?
Chase is bored with himself.
I think that's probably why they planted that Us Weekly, because the guys that were left were so boring. And you can't mean to tell me, I'm going to go back and mention this and then we can move forward. You can't mean to tell me that of the 26 guys that are there and the 13 producers that they have to just make sure that these guys have everything that they want, that they are never in about or around any sort of media. You mean to tell me that a producer did not go into that barbershop, quote unquote, that pop-up barbershop, and clear the room of all televisions and magazines? Really?
Yeah. No, they placed it. I mean,
come on,
obviously
it's
they placed
so
it.
Clear. So clear. It would have, and you know what? And you would have known that they had placed it if it had been a People magazine and not an Us Weekly or an In Touch.
Yeah.
Because The Bachelor is directly in bed with People magazine.
So we go on this date.
So we go on this
2-on-1 date. We start the date, and both of the guys are just brimming with confidence.
Oh, God.
Despite being unattractive.
Boring as hell.
They are both boring. I think Chase is significantly worse than Derek.
How?
Derek can at least get out a sentence. Chase literally can't say a sentence.
He is the king of Mumbleton.
He is the mayor of Mumbleton.
The mayor
and the chief of police and the city council. He is the dog catcher. He is everything in Mumbleton.
But I will say that Luke is the secretary of Mumbleton, because sometimes he gets a mumbling, but he'll at least speak up a little bit. He's got more of a slur than a mumble.
Just in case people don't remember the exact conversation, and it's very forgettable,
sure.
The exact conversation between JoJo and Chase,
mm-hmm.
I'd like to take a stab at kind of playing a game to recreate it, right?
Okay.
In this game, I will be Chase, you will be JoJo.
Okay.
So let's pretend that we're talking just like they were speaking on the show.
Okay.
You say something to me and I will respond as Chase.
Got it. You sound like you're not opening up to me.
You're saying that I sound like I'm not opening up to you? I'm sorry, that had way too much emotion.
It did.
But you get what I'm saying.
But the thing that I will say is about this is, you know, that is a communications tactic that has been taught in many a public speaking classes.
You know what else it is?
Something that dumb people do to try to understand.
A stupid way to hold a conversation with somebody that doesn't actually give any information.
Yeah. You mean like the 40-year-old virgin?
Yeah, just like that.
Be David Caruso and Jade.
Be David Caruso and Jade. Do you like to do it
Do you like
yourself?
To do it yourself?
I don't know how she could have picked one of these guys.
Right.
Because they're both terrible.
Right.
I think I would have picked Derek.
Really? I would have sent all of them home and just ran off into the sunset with Wells. Like, that's what I want to do.
I hate Chase. Chase is like an app that records your voice talking and then gives it back to you with no emotions and a lower IQ and random pauses between random words and sentences.
Chase is like that U2 album that no one could delete from their iTunes.
Yeah. He's just like that.
He's exactly like
that. He's memory that is being taken up by you and doesn't deserve anything and is awful.
And he constantly keeps showing up and you're like, why the hell are you still here? Where did you even come from? I have no idea.
I just don't. What would your life be like in a long-term relationship with Chase?
Ugh, I don't even want to think about it.
Whatever. I have nothing else to say on stage. They didn't do anything. Neither one of them can dance, which is fine. You just got to put yourself out there. We've done this, seen this before. Chase just mumbles his way to victory.
And we get to see Derek cry in the car, and Derek was really mad at himself for crying.
And then
he kept saying, don't cry, why are you crying?
Yeah.
You know. Dark days, D-Rock.
I'm sure JoJo is watching this and being like, yeah, it's too bad to let that guy go.
Drama.
Drama.
Yeah, drama, for real. So this happens briefly afterward. They import this singer to sing Don't Cry For Me, Argentina.
A little too on the nose,
way
don't
too
you
on
think?
The nose.
A little too on the nose.
What did that... How did that booking go?
I know.
Yeah, we're an American TV show. We want you to sing Don't Cry For Me, Argentina. Yeah, we know you're in Argentina.
Right.
Yeah.
So the one thing that I will say before we get into our power rankings and things like that, you know, there's always this conversation about vulnerability on this show where you're rewarded if you open up, and if you're not, you know, opening up, then you are pretty much kicked off of the show. Like, that is the one main thing that the contestants always talk about. I need so-and-so to open up so that, you know, we can start building a relationship. So JoJo really got on Chase's case this week about him not opening up and kind of clamming up and being shy or whatever, and, you know, which I think is a dumb conversation to say to have with somebody. But then Jordan was doing the exact same thing, and she's like lauding him and creating this persona for him as he's so mysterious and he's so different and he's so this and he's so that. And I mean, that's just, it's just a red flag. It's a huge red flag. When you're creating a persona for somebody in your own mind that doesn't even match up to anything close to what they're like in real life, you're setting yourself up for failure.
It's because you don't pick. You don't decide.
Because she's making excuses for him because that's the guy that she likes.
Let me ask you.
A lot of people do that.
Let me ask you an open question.
Uh-oh.
Have you ever been, like, on a date with a guy?
Yes. Oh, wait.
And you said, well, no, there's more to it.
Okay.
Have you ever been on a date with a guy and you were like, that's strange. This guy isn't opening up.
No.
Is that something that real people have problems with?
No. Like, that's not even a conversation that you have with somebody until you're, like, 3 months in and quite possibly might have the conversation, like, about, I don't want to see anyone else.
Like, I've been on dates with people and relationships with people. I've never felt like the other person not opening up was ever a problem. I never, like, asked someone a question that they were like, you know what, I'm just not going to respond to that. Like, that has never been a problem that I've had to deal with.
No.
Does that happen?
No. I mean, if it has happened, please let us know, because I am very concerned, because it seems like this is a huge issue. Much like we assumed that quicksand was going to be a bigger issue when we were watching cartoons.
I thought this
was
going to be way more of a hazard
than it turned out to be.
So then we have the rose ceremony. Oh, wait, no, we don't.
So, right. JoJo ends up keeping pretty much everybody. So Wells is the only person we lost, and we didn't even have to lose him.
Derek,
so,
too.
Well, Derek.
Who misses him?
Who cares? Right. I didn't even remember he was gone.
Let's go to power ranking.
Okay, number six.
This week, remind everyone, there are only six people left. At this point, we're just going to power rank everyone.
Rank it. Power it.
Who's your number six?
My number six is Alex.
My number six is Chase, for the reasons I just talked about.
Same. Mine are Alex because he's short and he shouldn't even still be on the show. So
he's super aggressive in me. He's my number five. He's my number five.
Yeah.
So I'll just jump into this now.
Okay.
He's super aggressive and mean.
Yeah.
He can't exist without, like, fighting to defeat a nemesis.
Right.
And, like,
which makes him a great Marine, but probably not a great person in his waking life.
Great Marine, not a great person to be in a relationship with.
Right. And I feel like the other thing about Alex was that he had that beard, and the beard looks so good on him. Because, you know, he's pretty and everything. And they shaved
it. It's pretty short.
Yeah.
It's really pronounced now that there's only six people left.
And everybody is, like, 8 feet tall.
It's all you can see.
And he's a small child. Yeah. Exactly.
Thank God he's, like, muscular.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you know,
well, I mean,
he'd look like me.
He's, like, busting out of his clothes. It's, like, it's not as hot as you think it is. So number five, my number five is Chase.
So we both agree. Alex and Chase are the worst two.
The worst two. Like, I mean, she's going to get fed up with Chase because it seems like she got fed up with Derek immediately after he asked for validation. And so I think she's going to get fed up with Chase sort of, you know, figuring out when he wants to be quote unquote present when he's with her.
Whatever. Who's your number four?
My number four is James Taylor. He just can't win. He can't win, and
agreed,
he's not going to be able to have sex with her. I mean, he'll take her to hometown.
God, you're so right. She's going to see 3 0% body fat, like, muscular studs,
mm-hmm,
and then James Taylor. Mm-hmm. And they're like, guess what? You get to sleep with these three people. And
she's
going to be
gonna
like,
go, well, I want to treat myself. These boobs aren't going to show themselves off to anybody.
Boy, I wish they would show themselves off to me.
It might. She might. I love... So, James Taylor, I get it, I see it, I feel it, the whole sort of soft, bubbling idiot thing, the simple Jack, like, all of it, I get it. But, and we'll talk about this probably in the bold predictions. So, wait, let me talk about it in bold predictions, and then we can keep going. So, your number four was...
My number four is Robbie.
Okay.
Because I don't like him, and I, whatever.
My number three is Robbie. Only because she's going to definitely have sex with him, but I hate him actively. He's just so slimy. Like,
smarmy.
Yes, like, there's something about him that is, like, I don't know, like, he's a used car salesman or something like that.
Yeah, he kind of thinks he always knows better than everybody else,
yeah,
which is not true.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. He's not likable.
I don't like him. So then that means your number...
My number three is Jordan Rogers.
Yeah, your number three is Jordan Rogers. Okay, why is he so low? What happened? I think because everybody's been ganging up on him and she's starting to see what the light is?
Yes.
Okay.
Not that. Like, she picked Jordan Rogers. That much is clear.
Yeah.
But every guy left in the game is going to make Jordan the enemy. And it only matters for another week or two because once it's hometowns, the other guys can't tell her anything.
They sure can.
However...
Yeah.
They can't tell her anything with Jordan around, which makes it better for them to be like, listen, don't get with Jordan.
Because
they don't have to worry about the consequences of like what James Taylor ran into tonight.
Well, he used the wrong percent.
Right. Telling her something about Jordan and then having to deal with Jordan.
But
But once he's not around, everyone's going to gang up on
him. And the problem is that, you know, sure, you can gang up on Jordan, but by trying to use your valuable percent to bring somebody else down who's already so far and away high up there next to and compared to you, it's such a waste. It is such a waste. And especially with how she already feels about Jordan, I mean, the only reason that Chad isn't on the show anymore is because he threatened Jordan's life. If he hadn't done that, Chad would still be on the show, and James Taylor would be fucking out of here.
Speaking of James Taylor would be out of here, that's who I have at number two. But here's the thing.
You are so optimistic and beautiful and sweet for doing that.
Here's the thing that I will say. Mm-hmm. I have him at number two because I have hope.
You it's do. All hope. Your hopes are high.
It is a vote of hope.
Yeah.
I don't think he can actually win, but... James, the rest of the show is about James Taylor.
100%.
It's like when you watch Oscar Pistorius run the 200 meter dash, and you're like, all of these guys look identical, except this one guy looks different.
Why would you bring up Oscar Pistorius?
Well, that's how it goes.
I mean,
no, that's what I'm saying. You're like, this guy is different.
Yeah.
And you watch it, and you're cheering for him, and then at the end of the thing,
you forget that he murdered his girlfriend.
He does that later.
Oh, okay.
At the end of it, you realize. I didn't really want this guy to win. What I wanted was for something unexpected to happen.
Yeah.
And that's why I have James here. I don't really want him to win. I just want something unexpected to happen.
So my number two is Jordan, and my number one is Luke.
For same as me.
All of the you know, other things that we have mentioned. I think what you're saying about James Taylor is totally and utterly right. And now that we've done our power rankings, let's move into bold predictions so I can say the thing that I want to say that
predict
is
us.
Gonna ruin your life.
Everyone sit down.
So
make sure you're sitting down and maybe also grab something with your hands.
Get ready. Gird your loins because it's about to go down. So we've got six guys that are left. And at this point, we start to have the conversation where we say, okay, who's going to be the next Bachelor? So, of the list that we have, you know that it's not Alex.
Because it just can't be Alex. He's too short and too mean.
Too short, too mean. Chase is the mayor of Mumbleton.
Nobody.
He cannot put a sentence together.
Nobody who makes money putting people on TV would bet on him.
No. I mean, advertisers would pull out. I would be asleep right now. Right now.
Yeah.
It can't be Robbie, because we already know that it sounds like Robbie has done something, like he had a girlfriend, or he's cheating, or something
that. They alluded to something weird about Robbie coming up a while ago.
His backstory is whatever. And the other thing about Robbie, if this backstory thing didn't pan out, he's too uppity. He's not tangible. He doesn't seem like the kind of guy that every girl could date.
You could kill somebody with how violently you're pointing right now.
This is the point.
Yeah.
So it's not Jordan because he can't get picked because he's famous.
He's already famous. This is his one shot.
Right. And so they have moved totally away from that sort of thing. Like, it would be different if Jordan Rogers was like Jesse Palmer, basically. They've already done that. So it can't be Jordan Rogers. It's not going to be Luke because I think she's going to pick Luke.
He's going to win.
Luke's going to win because she's not going to be able to deal with Jordan Rogers' like hot and cold, mysterious, like I'm lying to you thing.
I think even if Luke were an option, it would be a carbon copy of the Juan Pablo season, where it's like you end up with this guy who is hot but just nothing there.
Secretary of State of Mumbleton. Okay. He's going to talk in platitudes, not open his mouth at all, and he's just going to be one long Texas slur.
Ton of shirtless.
So, the last person that we're down to is James Taylor.
Could never happen.
And it's not going to happen.
He's the least likely.
If James Taylor is the Bachelor, I don't know what this show is going to start doing.
So what is your bold prediction?
I don't think there's going to be a Bachelor from this group.
My bold prediction is that there is going to be a Bachelor from this group, if you count Benzie as part of this group.
Adam Bonifest?
I think it's going to be Benzie.
I might die. But you know what? It's not Benzie because he's on BIP.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Why?
I'm so sorry.
Because he skipped BIP the first time around.
I know.
And in my mind, I was like, it's strange that they're letting such an attractive person, such a candidate that the people were behind, skip out on this. They must be holding him in their back pocket for something.
For something.
And this is going to be it. I didn't know he was back.
He's going to be on VIP.
Who could it be?
Nobody from this season. It's not Wells. Wells can't handle this. I mean, I love Wells, but Wells
can he handle it so well that it's blowing your mind?
Shut up! No! He's not going to be able to be on this television.
I don't know. Juan Pablo.
No way.
Juan Pablo got 8th. Wells and Derek tonight tied for 7th.
Do you think it's going to be Derek?
No, I'm just saying.
Game of Thrones spoiler. I will Tommen myself if it's Derek, okay?
No. I'm just saying. Juan Pablo got 8th and was chosen as the Bachelor.
Yeah, but
Wells got 7th.
Juan Pablo was a diversity hire. Juan Pablo wasn't selected to be the Bachelor because people actually liked him. They needed someone who was Hispanic to be on the show.
Yeah, and he looks like he should be on TV, too.
Exactly.
Wells looks like he should be on radio.
Oh, he's got a face for it. He's so cute.
I think he's great.
So, that's my bold prediction. I mean, we've already talked about Robbie having a girlfriend, but honestly, there's no Bachelor from this season. And, you know, with how Bachelor in Paradise might go, could go, you know, Ben Z could technically have a great storyline about, like, you know, I got my heart broken in fucking Paradise, whatever. I was in love with Jubilee, and, you know, she and I didn't work out for whatever reason. We broke up on the last day, and whatever. I'm making this up. I am hoping that would be the truth in the case. But, no, Kayla, it's going to be on VIP, and maybe Ben Z and Kayla.
I love Kayla.
So. I know you do.
I think it'll be interesting to see what happens on the Men Tell All when we get to see the test trials.
Right.
Because they're going to have to do some serious editing. With the 6 guys who are left, they're going to have to do some editing and make somebody attractive to us.
Right.
Because right now, you know,
it's like, nobody.
The crowd wanted to see Ben Higgins find somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So he got his own show.
Yeah.
The crowd wanted to see JoJo find somebody, so she got her own show. Nobody cares about anybody left.
I mean, and you could argue that maybe it's James Taylor, but I don't...
James Taylor doesn't sell commercials.
No.
I mean, sorry.
No.
He doesn't. They're not girls lining up outside of studios in wherever they have this thing to date James Taylor.
No.
It's just not happening.
I'm looking at the list right now. I'm looking at the worksheet. Can you hear it? I mean,
audio evidence.
I mean, no one on this list is bachelor-worthy.
You'd have to give Luke a hell of a lot of personality, then make her not pick him. That's the only shot.
And she won't do it, because she wants to f*** Luke so bad that it's not going to happen.
Luke's the only chance.
I mean...
Or Ben Z.
Or Christian. Like, are we digging back so down deep to Christian? We never even got to know him. I mean...
No, it's not going to be Christian. Christian got like 18th place. It's not going to be Christian.
Don't say that.
Every single person on this list made it farther than Christian.
It could be Christian.
No, it couldn't be Christian.
It won't be Christian. Well, guys, if you think somebody on this list could be The Bachelor, let me know because I am stumped.
I still think it's going to be Ben Z. He's going to make it through VIP.
If it's Ben Z, I'm going down there to audition. I'm sorry.
I don't care.
All right.
Go for it.
Okay.
Go for it. Which means that I'll get to stay here and send Twitter messages to Leslie Murphy and be like, what are you doing right now? You going to come hang out in San Francisco?
She's somewhere traveling the world with her boyfriend who looks like James Taylor.
Whatever.
So
she could have this and she doesn't even know.
Yeah.
Leslie Murphy, if you're listening, you could have this and now you know.
I bet she wants it.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Okay, so we'll see you guys next week, and I'm so glad to be back, and happy holidays, and have a great 4th of July, and
America.
Bye.
I'm actually feelings. I'm really excited. Let me just tell you, it was the most terrifying thing I've ever done. Totally excited and overwhelmed. I feel like this could happen right now. I'm really excited. That was the worst feeling. It was amazing. I will never find